Alrighty. Well, if you haven't had a chance yet, I hope you stop back by our ministry display table, get one of our prayer cards, guaranteed to keep the bugs out of your Bible. Got all of our contact information on there, and you can be praying for us. And we covet your prayers and appreciate that. And of course, stop by the Goddards and pick up their prayer card back there on the table. And I hope that maybe you'll make a collection of prayer cards, or maybe make a board, or put them up in your prayer closet, or maybe get you a napkin holder. And that's what we did, especially when my kids were at home, and we'd collect prayer cards from missionaries and evangelists and special friends, and we put them in a napkin holder. And then at every meal, we'd sit down and we'd pull up that one on the top of the list, and we would pray for them and remember them and keep them before our kids, okay? And then we'd stick it in the back and just keep rotating them at every meal. And that's a good habit to get into, to remember to be praying for them. And what a blessing that is. And we've got some soul winning tools back there on the table. I want to mention to you, you've got some little laminated soul winning cards. This is called The Way to Heaven. Got the gospel pictured on here. People understand and comprehend 85% more if they can see it as well as hear it. And so it was designed and put together as just a tool for you to use. I really originally designed it for my children to be able to win their first souls to the Lord. And they won their first souls to the Lord while they were children. And we took them out and set them up. You know how you hunters, any hunters in here? Any outdoorsmen? Okay. You know how you set your kids up for success? Hello? Yeah, you set them up for success, and you put them in a position where it's easy for them to, you know, harvest the game that you're hunting. And boy, you're teaching them, you're training them. Same way with soul winning. You're taking somebody out and you're teaching them. You can tell, oh, this one's ready. This is going to be easy. Let that beginner, don't you be a hog and take them all. You need to let some of them have an opportunity to be able to, and let them witness to them and see them get saved. And it's just a little tool. It's 100% waterproof, can win people to the Lord in a rainstorm. Amen. And then we got our The Way to Heaven in the Five Steps to Heaven. This one's got baptism illustrated on the back once again for you to illustrate. And I appreciate Pastor Parsons' drive to be able to get these bus kids back and to get them baptized, and for them to take the, because a lot of churches drop the ball right there. They get them saved, but they don't, because it takes work. To get them in church, get them baptized, get the mama to come, that takes work. And but that's what we need to do for them to grow and to go, amen. And so this has got baptism illustrated on the back, kind of helps them see it and illustrate it. And then, of course, our flip charts, our Way to Heaven flip charts, is another tool if you're a Sunday school teacher, bus worker. You deal with groups of kids. First Baptist Hammond years ago started making all of their junior church soul winners use my flip charts, because they were having a lot of repeat salvations. You know, these kids were getting saved every week, and they're like, well, we need to be effective and use the Bible and try to, but so they needed something extra, and they found out about my flip charts, and they said, well, we want these. And it's just a tool. And of course, it goes through the simple plan of salvation, heaven. It's got the verses and points that you need to get across on the back. And then as you just flip through it, of course, dealing with sin, dealing with hell, and on. And it's just a gospel plan that's pictured. Got the crosses on the hill. It's got the gift of eternal life. And it's got them safe and secure in the hands of God after they get saved. Just a tool. It could be a help, could be a blessing. They said that after they started using this, it's not because it's mine, it's just a tool. But once they started using it, they said our repeat salvations went way down, because they were getting it. They were comprehending it. And so that's what it's for. Just a tool. It was birthed on the mission field on our mission trips when we went to the Philippines. And it's been a great tool. We had a mama the other day just texted me, sent me a picture of her and her boy sitting on the couch, and she said, I bought this for my Sunday school class, but my own son hadn't got saved yet, and I've been using it with him, and he got saved. And boy, it was like, what a blessing. Praise the Lord for that. Then this morning, I mentioned about my puppy dog, Dixie, that was stolen from us, and how we found her 2 weeks later after we kicked the door down and pulled out our pistol, and no, we We wanted to do it that way, but the police said, you stay here. We'll go across the street and see if she's in this house. But anyway, the whole story is here written out, mainly geared for youth, but folks of all ages love it. And it's got a lot of teaching points in there about obedience and pleasing the master. And those are back there on the table if you're interested in those tools. Just wanted to mention those to you real quick. We'll be headed out in the morning. Loretta and I will. We got to fly up to Indiana, and then we fly back, and then we go over to Cocoa, and we'll be with Brother Hall over there, and then we head up to the Soul Winning Marathon in Albany, Georgia, and then go over to Waycross to be with Brother Chad, and on and on. So you pray for us as we travel this country, preaching revivals, missions conferences, youth conferences, couples retreats, of course, specializing in the Roundup Sundays and outreaches, and pray the Lord to give us safety. Pray for He'd provide our needs. Pray that the Lord to give us fruit for our labor, and He would empower us and fill us and use us. Amen. And be a blessing. So take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, and turn to the book of Jude. Jude. This evening, I'm going to show some pictures during my message here to illustrate, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Hold your attention. I know you're tired. Many of you are weary from all the hard work, and just may I commend you on the work that was done for the Restore-a-thon, and I loved the theme, the Americana, and See the Shining Sea, and Mount Pledgemore, and on. You got some gifted, talented people around here, and what a blessing that was to be a part of that and to see what the Lord's going to do, that's for sure. Jude, let's all stand together, and we're going to jump right into the message here this evening. In Jude, verse number 20, the Bible says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. See that 22, very familiar verse, committed to memory by many of you, I'm sure. And if some have compassion, making a difference. Because that's what we want to do, is to make a difference. Amen? Making a difference. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Oh yeah, that's our job. We're all called to be firefighters. Amen? Heavenly Father, I pray You'd help us tonight. Empower us and fill us and use us. Lord, we pray that You would help us to see the need here during these last days. Lord, we too would decide that we want to make a difference. And I pray that You do what I cannot do. Holy Spirit of God, as I yield myself to You, we ask these things now in Your precious name. Amen. You all can be seated. The Lone Ranger. I want to talk to you about heroes. When I was a kid, my hero was the Lone Ranger. Oh man alive, I tell you what, I loved to watch the Lone Ranger. I'd get on my six guns, and I'd get on my cowboy boots and my hat, and I'd watch the Lone Ranger. And man, the announcer would get on there, and all of a sudden he'd say, a fiery horse with a speed of light and a cloud of dust and a hearty, hi-yo, Silver, away, da-lunt, da-lunt. Hail Silver! And he'd be riding across the prairie, wide open, on his horse. Hey, I would see that and I'd think, oh man, I want to be the Lone Ranger. Oh, and all of a sudden, he'd ride in to save the day. Sweet Penelope had been held captive by Bad Bart. She was tied up. He was threatening her with her life. Or marry me, or you'll die. I would rather die than marry you, she says. About that time, boom, he kicks down the door. And pow, pow, shoots the guns right out of Bad Bart's hands without drawing blood. And he goes over there, cuts her loose. Oh, my hero. Saved the day and left his bullet there on the table and had the bad guy tied up when the sheriff shows up and he rides off into the sunset and she says, who was that masked man? Oh, it was the Lone Ranger. And I think, wow, he was the hero of the day. You know, everybody has heroes. Brother Parsons told me today that Brother Mickey Carter was his hero. Huh? Heroes. World's heroes get drunk, smoke dope, and cuss. Our heroes ought to go to church, tithe, and walk with God. The world's heroes flirt, they're sensual, embrace sodomites, promote the rebellion, and brag about their immorality. Our heroes ought to be those that love their preacher, they're concerned for the lost, they're faithful to their mate, and they got a good relationship with their children. The world's heroes, they live for pleasure. They're controlled by the flesh. They promote the new world order. They desensitized our nation to sin. Our heroes ought to be those that sit up front, wave the Bible, say amen, and lay up treasures in heaven. The world's heroes, they've demoralized American citizens to the point of no absolutes. They kneel during the national anthem. They wear the colored underwear in public. They mark their bodies with tattoos. Our heroes ought to be those that are controlled by the Spirit of God. They pass out tracts. They have a listening ear. They got the power of God on their life. They work together as a team. Oh, yeah. The world's heroes have multiple body piercings. They seek to please people. They laugh at sin. Our heroes ought to seek to please the master and cry over broken, wasted lives. Oh, my heroes. My heroes is Dr. Jack Howes, my pastor of many years. Oh, my hero is Dr. Joel Boyd. Traveled this country, one of the greatest church evangelists of all time. Man, he was the Michael Jordan of his day. He was All-American football player, All-American wrestling, All-American boxing. I mean, he did it all. Today, we don't have anybody near as tough as that. They can only take one thing. I think it was four things. He was all-star. He was champion. Everybody knew him. He was a household name, a hero. And then God called him to preach. Oh, yeah. Evangelist Carl Hatch was my hero. I was surrendered to preach under his ministry. And he'd come in, and as he would preach, and the Holy Spirit of God would work on hearts, and boy, folks would get saved. And what an amazing, amazing man. I just thought, wow, man, those are men that I love and look up to. And boy, God give us some people that would be heroes. Heroes. Everybody wants to be a hero, but few are willing to pay the price and to count the cost. Next picture, if you would. It was Wednesday, April the 19th, 1995 at 9:02 in the morning. Timothy McVeigh drove a 5,000-pound truck bomb in front of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building. Killed 168 men, women, and children. Next picture, we find Captain Chris Fields in front of the magazine I hold in my hands. It's called Hero of the Heartland. Oh, yeah. He's pictured on the cover reaching out to take 12-month-old Bailey Alman, who died in the explosion. 600 firemen worked, and they were called heroes of the night. Next picture, if you would. Heroes of the night. In the harsh glare of 100 spotlights, they work from dusk until dawn. They are heroes whose dedication to duty cannot be tinned by the night. They are players in a life or death drama, and they are playing for high stakes, the possibility of saving a human life. Boy, that sounds like a soul winner. Sounds like a missionary to me, a preacher. Heroes of the night. I want you to see tonight, real quickly, four characteristics of heroes. Next picture. They respond when duty calls. They respond when duty calls. More than 1,200 of Oklahoma City's finest work tirelessly and thanklessly to ensure that the scores of emergency vehicles and rescue workers could reach the scene to move the victims to the area hospitals. Others manned roadside blocks to aid in the search for suspects. Nearly all stayed at their posts around the clock without asking for relief, not even expecting it. Scores of off-duty officers dropped what they were doing, rushed to hastily organized command centers, got their orders, and moved out to do whatever was needed. It is said every officer, as well as the civilians who were on the scene, performed acts of heroism just by going into the building when there was fears another bomb might explode at any second. They said, I think every officer who ever wore a badge showed up to volunteer. Oh yeah, heroes. Heroes. Bible says in Mark 16, 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a hero right there. And it says in verse number 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Boy, you know, when you got the Lord working with you, it's so much easier. Huh? Can you imagine trying to do your job, Brother Doug, all by yourself? Just you, nobody else. Can you imagine not having Jesse? Although we'd like to think about that. I know, I think he's been sick today. You ought to pray for him. I don't know if he's here. Is he here tonight? Okay, he's sick. Pray for him. But can you imagine, it'd be like, man, I can't imagine doing what I do by myself. Huh? Man, I thank the Lord for the team and the family that God has given us and to be able to accomplish the goal and get it done. Heroes in the night, they responded. Bible says in Luke 14, 23, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. That's our ministry verse, our life verse. While we're trying to compel them, to convince them, to create a desire in their heart to want to get saved, to want to come. Man, that's our job. Well, our job is to populate heaven and depopulate hell. And I'd be a mighty sorry fireman if I wouldn't respond to the call. Can you imagine a 911 call? The nursery is on fire. They're trapped. And they called down there and said, hey, hurry up and get down here to Landmark. Man, we got a bunch of kids in the nursery. The place is on fire. And we got to get you down here. And can you imagine the fire department saying, man, I'm playing cards right now. And for the first time, I've got a win in hand. And we're just sitting around the table relaxing. Listen, why don't you find somebody else to call? We're busy right now. You'd say, that'd be a mighty sorry fire department that wouldn't respond to the call of duty. They said, well, don't you have somebody to, oh, wait. Hey, George. George's out there. He's waxing the pole. Hey, George. They got the fire going on down there at Landmark. Bunch of babies going to die if we don't get down there. Man, I got a winning hand. I just can't stop. How about you? You think you could go? And George says, man, don't you see what I'm doing? I am busy. I am polishing the pole. I'm waxing this thing up so there'll be no friction. So when there's an emergency, woo, we can slide down this thing. And I'm busy right now. I'm waxing the pole. Man, George is waxing the pole. You'd say, what? His job ain't to wax the pole. His job is to get out of here. And you'd say, well, now calm down. No need to get all excited here. Let me see if Joe can go. Hey, Joe. Joe's out there in the wash bay washing the truck. Got to keep all that stuff looking fine. He's out there washing. Joe, they called him from down there at Landmark, and they said a bunch of kids going to die in the nursery, the place on fire. Man, I got a winning hand. I can't stop. George's waxing the pole. How about you? You think you go down there? He says, man, we can't take the equipment out looking like this. Man, we got water spots on it. No, man, tell him to call somebody else. You'd say, what in the world? What kind of a joke of a firehouse is that? Man, you're supposed to come.
Yep.
Duty is calling. You should respond. Hey, we'd be as mighty sorry Christian.
That's right.
Not to spread the gospel. Not to pass out a tract. Not to do whatever we can to keep somebody out of hell. Man, our job is to try to keep people out of hell. Next slide. Not only are they responding when duty calls, but they're willing to risk their life. Life out of death. Life out of death was Rebecca Anderson was the title. In fact, I think the next picture, there it is. Yeah, thank you. Life out of death. Listen to this. Rebecca Anderson had nearly everything to live for. A newly married to a husky blue-eyed truck driver, 37-year-old divorced mother of four, was forging a new life. That life was, well, the life of her family and friends was shattered the day the bomb exploded in Oklahoma City. Rebecca was a devoted wife and mother and wasn't in the building when the bomb went off. She would be nonetheless become one of the terrorist innocent victims, and all because of her kind heart, a heart that would ironically be used to save another life. Rebecca had recently become a nurse and knew instinctively what she had to do when the explosion rocked her home on the morning of April 23rd. She raced down to help without thought of her safety, making a mistake that would prove fatal. Shortly after arriving, Rebecca was struck from on the head by concrete from the collapsing building. 5 days later, she died in the hospital. But the story doesn't end there. Before she was laid to rest by her husband, Fred, and her children, ages 10 through 17, her heart, the one that was strong, kind, loving, and strong, was implanted into the chest of a gravely ill 55-year-old Oklahoma man, William Billy Wilcoxon. Fred believes this is just the way that Rebecca would have wanted it. She'd do anything she could to help anybody, he said, as he tried to come to terms with the horror of his loss. Willing to risk their life. Willing to lay it down, not thinking of themselves, but thinking of others. Boy, you know what? We need to learn to play hurt. Well, people are looking for excuses. And I can't, because I got a hangnail. I don't feel good. You know, all kind of excuses. My daddy used to say an excuse is a reason stuffed with a lie. Say, boy, that's strong. Boy, it's about the truth, isn't it? It's hard to find people that got grit. Hard to find people that are tough and complain whenever they're hurt. Hey, next slide there. Real heroes, not only do they risk their life and are willing to lay it down, but they rescue the perishing. See, real heroes save lives. They're the lifesavers. They rescue victims. They called them angels of healing. There's a picture of the nurses there. They were running to the scene. Listen to this. Dr. Rick Nelson broke the speed limit going to Oklahoma City from Muskogee Regional Medical Center 150 miles away. He came just to lend a hand and became an instant hero when Brandy Legion's 15-year-old girl was found alive more than 12 hours after the bombing. Can you imagine 12 hours this little girl was pinned, trapped? Dr. Nelson volunteered to go into the unstable wreckage to help the girl trapped under tons of rubble. He climbed over corpses to reach her. I gave her oxygen and joked that she was being saved by the best-looking doctor in Oklahoma, he said. Whenever they got her out, she smiled at me and said, I love you. Oh, yeah. He risked his life. Yeah. He helped save that girl's life. More than 24 hours later, Dr. Nelson was still standing by, hoping to save someone else. He said, I still believe in miracles. Another doctor performed a grisly operation on Dana Bradley, 20-year-old young lady found pinned under a pile of cement. Dr. Gary Massad crawled through a tiny hole to reach the woman and amputate her leg without anesthetics to free her. He said, my greatest fear was that I would have to leave her trapped there. He says, I would have carried that to my grave. Oh, man, our greatest fear ought to be that our family members and our neighbors and our loved ones would die and go to hell. That ought to be our greatest fear. I went fishing with a friend the other day, and I was talking to him, and he's out of church. COVID got him out of church, preacher. Like so many others. And I asked him about, we was talking about his granddaughter because they watch her a lot. And I said, man, you going to bring her to the Cowboy Carnival? And we was running it on a Saturday. He said, no, she's got horse riding lessons. She's 10-year-old. I said, well, man, how about bringing her on Sunday? He said, I don't know, mate. I said, is she saved? He said, I don't know. What? You don't know? You don't know if your old granddaughter is saved or not, and you ain't going to do one blessed thing to try to change that? And you ask her, I just said, well, ask her to come. Well, we'll ask her. They didn't tell her you're going. Well, if you got parents to tell you you're going to church, and you're going to sit there, you're going to behave. Boy, they said, we asked her and she didn't want to go. If that girl don't get saved at the judgment, it's going to be a sad day. I can't imagine that. I can't conceive that. I can't take one moment and try to understand why somebody would let their own granddaughters die and go to hell without doing something about it. My goodness, that's unbelievable. A real hero, they can't help but do something about it. Huh? Brandy Legion said, I'll never forget Dr. Rick Nelson. See, next slide. Real heroes save lives. And next one. They are remembered forever. I'll never forget Pastor Ralph Wingate preaching on that Sunday night when the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of me and convicted me, and I saw myself as a sinner headed for hell. I'll never forget his wife, Miss Cindy, meet me down there at the altar, 7-year-old red-headed freckle-faced boy, January 10th, 1971. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's been the best day of my life. I'll never forget it. I'll never get over it. And I thank God for a gospel-preaching church that run buses and that cared about the souls of men and women and children. Oh, I'll never forget them. Never. Hey, Beulah. That girl ain't ever going to forget you. Huh? That person, whoever won you to Christ, you should never forget them.
That's right. Amen.
You ought to take their picture. You ought to call them up on your spiritual birthday and say, thank you. I got saved on this day. You were the one that told me. And I'd be headed for hell if it weren't for you. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Boy, that's a person and a day you ought to remember. And hold on to that. They'll always be remembered. Next slide. The person that won you to Christ might be gone.
Right. All right.
But they'll never be forgotten.
Amen.
Gone, but not forgotten. It's called a fireman's prayer. Next slide there. The courage of the men in yellow. It was said in bold headlines in the magazine. It says their burning ambition was to save every life that could be saved. I mean, that just jumped out at me. And I said, wow, that ought to be a Christian's burning ambition. To see every life they could see saved. See, that's why transferring your money into souls, by supporting the ministry, by giving to missions, by pledging to the radio station, you're transferring that. It equals souls being saved. Oh, yeah. And that's why the radio can keep going on for another year, because there's a bunch of folks that say, hey, I want to do my part to help keep some people out of hell. And I want it to take the gospel where I can't go. The fireman's prayer is this. Whenever I'm called to duty, God, wherever flames may rage, give me strength to save some life, whatever be its age. Help me embrace a little child before it's too late, or save an older person from the horror of that fate. Enable me to be alert and hear the weakest shout, and quickly and efficiently put the fire out. I want to fulfill my calling and to give the best in me, to guard my every neighbor and protect his property. And if, according to your will, I have to lose my life, please bless with your protecting hand my children and my wife. A fireman's prayer. Now hold that next slide. Don't bring it up yet. I got to tell you a story while we close. It was about 2:00 in the morning. It was 2 weeks before Christmas. The tree was decorated, presents piled up underneath. 5 elderly ladies were sleeping in the downstairs. The mother of the home took in these elderly ladies as a care facility and took care of them. And it was a way for her to make a living, because the husband was a drunk and ran out on her. Her little 8-year-old girl was sleeping in the upstairs attic bedroom, and the mother and her older daughter were sleeping in the downstairs bedroom, along with the 5 elderly saints. An arsonist came along and threw fuel oil on the side of the house, lit a match, and set that house on fire, full of these senior citizens, this mama and her 2 girls. Well, the house immediately engulfed in flames with the fuel oil. Somebody saw the fire. They called 911. It happened to be a firehouse with some rescue heroes that responded to the call of duty. They jumped up out of their beds about 3 o'clock in the morning. They ran down to the firehouse as quick as they could. They had a mission. They were on their way to that fire to try to put it out and save as many lives as they could, willing to risk their life and lay it on the line. They showed up. The house was engulfed in flames, and the elderly mama and her older daughter had gotten those five ladies out. And they were outside, had their bedding and blankets around them, and coughing from the smoke, temporarily forgetting about the little 8-year-old girl up in the attic. She woke up full of smoke. She ran to the window. She saw the fire department and the lights flashing and the firemen trying to put out the hose and her mom and the other ones. And she tried to push up on the window because the steps going downstairs were engulfed in flames. She couldn't get out. She began to beat on the glass. And her mama saw her from outside. And she screamed. And the fireman that was putting the fire out threw the hose down. And he ran inside that house. He risked his life. Willie not thinking twice about it. As he ran into that house engulfed in flames. And he called for the little girl to jump. Jump. And that little girl stepped back and she ran and jumped through those flames into the arms of that fireman, hugged his neck. He grabbed that little girl and ran outside and saved that little 8-year-old's life and delivered her to her mama. And her mama was reunited there, and they hugged and kissed and tears running down their face. And that little girl said, "I'll never forget that fireman. I'll never forget his face. I'll never forget it. Oh, I thank God for the firemen. I thank God for those that report to the call of duty, that were willing to risk their life and save the life of that little girl that day." Well, she's about 8 years old. When she turned 16, there was a bus program going on at Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church in Martinsburg, West Virginia. They ran a bunch of buses. And they had a program, and the kids that brought the most visitors on that day were winning a prize to be able to go to the amusement park. And so there's a girl who had a big family. She's trying to get all of her family to come. And she got them to come, and she came to church. And her 16-year-old cousin was sitting there in church, and they were showing the film, The Burning Hell. Remember that old Burning Hell film? Boy, that scared it out of her. And she put her head down and couldn't watch the rest of the film. She said, "As soon as this is over, I'm going to rush down to the front and get saved." She couldn't run down to the front quick enough to get saved. That 16-year-old run down to the front. The assistant pastor's wife met her down there and wandered to Jesus. "Why don't you show a picture of that young lady? That was my wife. She got saved 2 times. One by the fireman that responded to the call of duty. And he risked his life. He saved that little red-headed girl. Oh, I thank God for that. But more importantly, I thank God that there was a church that is on the go with the gospel. And they were soul conscious, and they believed in passing out tracts and telling people about Jesus and knocking on doors and supporting missions and running buses. And they reached her, and God saved her and changed her life. She surrendered to the ministry, and guess who she married? She's happy, happy, happy. Amen. I thank God for those soul winning churches. I got a special place in my heart for the firemen. Well, that's real to me. Huh? Oh, yeah. God, you can be a hero. You don't have to be a police officer, fireman, or first responder. You, Beulah, you're a hero. Brother Bradley, where's he at? He's out back smoking or what? Oh, there he is. He's a superhero. He's a man at the Salvation Station. Man, is that, hey, them folks that got saved, those soul winners, they're heroes. They're heroes. You can be a hero. Oh, yeah. And if some have compassion, making a difference. God help us to make a difference. Now, here's the invitation. If you're here tonight, you'd say, preacher, I've never personally won anybody to Jesus. I've never done that. Then you know what your prayer ought to be tonight? Your prayer ought to be, Lord, I don't want to stand before you empty-handed. I want to take somebody with me to heaven. And you ought to come down and shake Brother Parson's hand and say, preacher, would you pray for me? I don't want to go to heaven empty-handed. I want to see somebody saved. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to be gifted in linguistic skills. All you got to do is care. That's all you got to do is care. And if you said, I've never done that, I hope you'll come and say, tonight, Lord, my goal this year is to see somebody saved, to get somebody into heaven. And if you're a soul winner, you say, I've done that. Well, if it's been a while, maybe you've kind of lost that zeal and that drive and you're not soul conscious anymore, press the reset button and get back at it. Because there's some folks that are waiting on you.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah. And there's maybe somebody, maybe you've got a grandchild that's lost. Beg for them to get saved. Bathe them in prayer. Huh?
Yeah.
Pray. Maybe you want to come down and find a place to pray. Pray for the soul winning marathon.
Yeah.
Pray for that church in Albany. And pray that the Lord would give us a host of souls saved. And it would increase the church. And boy, up in heaven, you'll have somebody to thank you. Say, thank you. Thank you. Oh, that right there, you can take that to the bank. That right there is going to last forever. I might not be able to take my ostrich boots. I might not be able to take my Martin guitar. I might be able to take my Colt Python pistol. But I can take the souls of men and women with me to heaven. Oh, yeah. And that's something that'll live forever. Amen. Heroes. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us to be a hero. I pray you'd help us to have a burning desire in our heart. Like the fireman's prayer, their burning ambition to save every life. To do the same. I wonder how many of you here tonight would say, Ranger Walker,